preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Won't you join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
In John chapter 7, there is a statement in verse 46 that really does capture the entire problem that the people have with regard to Jesus Christ. The officers say of Jesus, "No man ever spoke like this man. We've never heard anything like it." And this struggle with his speaking produced all sorts of questions about Jesus, summarized by the single question, "Who is this?" The problem is this: no one's conception about who the Messiah would be or where he would come from or how he would speak is fitting with what this Jesus is saying and doing. I have a copy of the 1599 Geneva Bible, and that was a Bible translation that every Christian household had. It was the choice of the Puritans over the King James Version, and every Protestant household had the Geneva Bible coming into this country when it originally was formed. And in John 7:26, I want you to listen to how it reads. "And behold, he speaketh openly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is indeed that Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when that Christ cometh, no man shall know." Hear it? This Christ doesn't fit what we know of that Christ. Their conceptions of Jesus don't fit the reality, and it's produced mass conflict. What a message this is for us, and probably one of the strongest warnings in the whole Bible. Multitudes have been really offended at the teachings of Christ. They have hated what he has been saying. In fact, it was so bad that by the time John ended, many of his own disciples said, "We just can't listen to this. Who can hear it?" And Jesus has to say, "Does this offend you? Do my teachings offend? Do they cause you to stumble?" The answer was yes, they did. I sit back and ask myself, what in the world is the problem? Why are they raging? Why are they mad at Jesus Christ? Why do they want to kill Jesus Christ? It was all about his message. Remember the first part of John 7, his brothers try to take him up to the feast, and he says, "I just can't go up to the feast in my own timing. I have to follow the Father's timing." Why? "Because my message is that all the world's works are evil." And then he goes on to say, after they questioned him about his letters, knowing the letters of the law, "My doctrine's not mine, but him who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent me is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." You want to know how my doctrine's validated? You want to know concerning the doctrine? You're going to know concerning that doctrine because he who speaks from himself just says things to glorify himself, make people feel good. But Jesus' testimony is that all are under sin. All are under sin, and they must come to me, says Christ, and live. Calvin, commenting on this section, says, "There are very many who are not affected by a perception of their emptiness. Until the Spirit of God, by his own fire, kindles hunger and thirst in their hearts, it belongs to the Spirit to cause in us this desire for grace." That's the point here in John 7. He's showing how the gospel becomes powerful and wonderful to us. He's explaining that it's the very work of the Spirit to kindle our hearts, to be able to hear this about ourselves so that we're overwhelmed with joy when we see in this section him stand up and cry out, "Come to me and drink, and I will satisfy your thirst. You see, the contrast here in John 7 is between that gospel call and what rejection of it looks like, how one responds to Jesus' teaching. Jesus is saying all these hard things that derail people when what they have made of Jesus in their minds doesn't fit. One of the greatest tragedies on the pages of Scripture is before us, because when we have concocted in our imaginations a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Word of God, it's going to cause conflict. Conflict when you come to the Scriptures and meet a Jesus who confronts your life and exposes your sin. So after he confronts them, left off here yesterday, confronted them with not keeping the law of Moses. Notice that in verse 19, none of them keeps the law. There's a lot from Jerusalem sitting here and listening to this. He's bold. This is what happens. There's mass confusion. Something really struck them. He speaks boldly, they say, and they say nothing to him. That's what John 7 says. But look, he speaks boldly, and they don't say anything to him. The word for boldly here is interesting. It's totally unreserved in his speech. He has no fear. He's bold. It's the same thing they said after the Sermon on the Mount. Remember what happened? And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The word astonished there means to be expelled by a blow. It has the whole sense of a strike. They were struck with astonishment. They were blown out of their minds because of the way he spoke. Authority. He commanded lives and he confronted with no fear. Listen, I tried to say this last time. People don't have this kind of response to light, soft suggestions and easy comforts about how to live. You don't get killed for making everyone feel good about themselves. He's telling them they're all covenant breakers, that nothing they have ever done or will do in life can make them right with God, and that they must repent, they must turn from their wicked ways, and they must come to Him and live. Every minister struggles with this, by the way. R.C. Sproul was speaking on Luther recently at a conference, speaking on the end of his life, and Luther said, "Wherever the gospel is preached with boldness and clarity, there will be conflict." And he said, most pastors have enough conflict. They don't want any more. Sproul said, whenever pastors avoid this conflict, the gospel in history has always slipped away into oblivion. That's a really, really important statement. Pastors have enough conflict, and so they don't want conflict to come from Sunday mornings in the pulpit, but actually that's where the conflict's going to come. But I'm trying to understand this. Why would good news cause conflict? The answer is this. For Christ to ever be beautiful to us, for Christ to ever really transform us, for our estimation of Him to go off the charts, overwhelmed by His divinity, you have to be really confronted by your spiritual poverty. Poverty you don't want to see, poverty you don't see, and sinners are hostile to this. You say, I don't need to hear that. I'm righteous. But Christ didn't come for the righteous, but for sinners. And such a recognition of our need is a daily thing as a Christian. The Reformers would speak of daily conversion, which we don't talk enough about. Daily dying to the self. Now, all of this of Jesus' boldness is really confronting hearts. It's caused mass confusion. I want you to notice what happens here. After they recognize that what Christ is saying is like nothing else anyone has ever heard, that no one is stopping what he's saying, do the rulers know that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when Christ comes, no one knows where he's from. They're really confused. Did you hear it? In their confusion, they've drawn a conclusion, and that's important for us to see. Goes like this. We hear him speak. No one speaks like this, though. It's got to be the Christ, but hold on, it can't be. We know where this man's from, and when the true Christ comes, no one's going to know when that Christ comes. It's so interesting. They recognize in the teachings, it's got to be. But wait, doesn't fit our experience. He came from Nazareth. We know where he comes from. Can't be the true Christ. Never once did they stop and realize that they might have got it wrong. The whole conflict from John 6 on to this point, Jesus is running up against is all these people, dear radio listeners, who have built into their own conceptions who Jesus should be. A political Messiah, where he would come from, what he would do, what he would say. And this Jesus on the pages of John 7 is in total conflict with what they have built up into their minds of who he should be. Essentially, they're contending intellectually with God because they don't like this Jesus. See how dangerous this is. Listen, it's the same thing that goes on today, and it just scares me. That our experiences in life, the things that we face, the things that we're exposed to, the sorrows that we see, especially when the prevailing view today of man is that he's good, has a good heart, all that's pushed on us. When what begins to happen when our circumstances turn bad? We work back to the scriptures to fit into our lives the kind of Jesus we think is the answer. Did you get that? People start with their problems, right? They started here with their problems. Roman rule, political Messiah, Israel's in so much physical bondage. And they worked their desired Jesus and pushed it upon the real one. We do this all the time. We take the sorrow and misery we see in this world and we say, look at all the injustices. We're all victims of our circumstances. And what do we begin to do? My Jesus wouldn't condemn. We work back those emotional desires upon the real Jesus. And the prevalent view today is that Jesus does not condemn or that he's only love. The problem is that prevalent view that's pushed upon us in the churches today doesn't fit with what we're finding as we study the words and the life of the Jesus of the scriptures, calling people to a radical death to the self. All of which desperately is hanging upon the Lord's sovereign choice in giving mercy to whom he will. That does not fit, dear radio listener, the kind of conceptions, the American conceptions, that we make up of the Jesus that we like. And the consequences that we're seeing play out in John 7 here, of not hearing him as he's revealed to us in the Word, we find these people in mass conflict over what they think and what we think Jesus should be and how he should fit in our circumstances, all because we don't want to listen to him bring an end to us. Who is this Jesus? That's what we have to see in John 7. That's what you must come to grips with. What Jesus are you following? A Jesus that you've made up in your mind? Or the Jesus who has come, revealed himself on the pages of Scripture as a savior from sin. You've got to be willing to have your heart exposed to be lifted up by him. My prayer today is that you've come to him, drinking the water that he offers, that living water, bursting out of your hearts, you will know the kind of joy that only he can give. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.